Your Bibles tonight, you can turn over there with us, Leviticus chapter 23. Leviticus chapter 23 tonight. And did everybody receive a Bible study handout tonight? Everybody get your Bible study handout there? All right. If you need a pen, there are some on the back table that you can grab to fill in the blanks on that Bible study sheet there. But Leviticus chapter 23 is where we're going to be tonight and over the next several weeks, along with some supporting passages. And, you run into two problems when you are preparing any type of sermon or any type of Bible study. And that problem, well, really, it's two problems. Number one, you either run into a topic that there's not much covered in the Bible, and there's not much written on said topic, or then you run into a situation where there is much said about a topic, and there's much written on a topic. And we find ourselves in the latter position because, as we're going to begin tonight, we're going to begin this Bible study on the feasts and festivals of Israel. And there is actually much the Bible says about them, and there's much that has been written about them in books and in commentaries and in charts. And you just name it, it has probably been written about the feasts and festivals of Israel. But the reason for that is because all of these feasts and all of these festivals, well, they point to the Lord Jesus Christ. They point to the coming Messiah, the Savior of the entire world. So we're there tonight, Leviticus chapter 23. And who would like to read verses 1 through 3? Verses 1 through 3 tonight. Who'd like to read that for us this evening? Miss Martha, go ahead. Thank you there, Miss Martha. And so here we see in Leviticus chapter 23, we have the giving of the seven feasts. We have the giving of the seven festivals. Now, at the end of this entire Bible study, because there is so much written, I'm going to give everybody that's here a packet of material that has in it the resources I personally have used to work on these Bible studies, as well as resources that are out there that if you want to look those up, if you want to order those books for further study on your own time, then you'll have those things available to you once we finish everything up here in about the next 8 weeks or so. But as we think about the feasts and we think about the festivals, you know, they could be accounted or compared to our modern day holidays. And when you think about holidays, people all over the world love and celebrate holidays. You think about it, we have holidays of all kinds and for all kinds of reasons. We have political events, we have birth dates of national figures, we have religious seasons, we have superstitions, and then we have the just because holidays. You know, I guarantee you go on Google today and you look up what national day it is today, you'll find something that today is National Something Day, whether it be National Donut Day, National Pen Day, National Dog Day, Sunday Daughter Day. I guarantee you'll find there's something going on today, there's something going on tomorrow, and there's something that went on yesterday. I mean, we love our holidays. You know, most of you know my favorite holiday is Christmas. I'm already counting down to the time that the Christmas tree goes up, right? And we love our holidays. And in contrast, though, we look at God and we look at the Bible here, And God only really gave us seven holidays, all outlined for us here in Leviticus 23. Now, they will branch off. For example, next week we're going to look at the Feast of Passover. Well, the Feast of Passover will actually be found over in, I want to say, Exodus chapter 12, verses 1 through 20, if I'm remembering right. I know it's verses 1 through 20. Don't quote me on the chapter. We'll get there next week. But they're outlined for us here in Leviticus chapter 23. And each of these feasts are part of a collective whole. And together, these feasts tell us a story. And it tells us a narrative of the coming Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of the entire world. So now, if you know anything about the calendar, we talk about this a lot during Easter time and about the crucifixion and the resurrection and why we don't necessarily celebrate Good Friday, because you cannot get 3 days and three nights, three full days and three full nights in between Friday night and Sunday morning. It just doesn't work. The math just doesn't add up. But the Israelites would work from sunrise to sunset, counted the months by the phases of the moon, and that is how they would watch the seasons come and go. And so God had promised them a very important promise. Go over, if you would, Genesis chapter 8 and verse 22. And who'd like to read that for us tonight? Genesis chapter 8 and verse number 22. Not put it up there. Genesis chapter 8 and verse number 22. Michaela, go ahead. All right, and so we see here the promise God made them. He made them that there would always be seed time and harvest. There would be cold and heat. There would be summer and winter. There would be day and night. So he promised them these seasons. And we find that the Israelite people, because of this promise, they were a contented people. And they knew that each day, each and every day, was a sacred gift from God. And let's focus on that a minute tonight. As we think about, you know, having a new day, what do you find yourself thankful for when you wake up and it's a new day? Ms. Martha?
I thank the Lord for good nights.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
If I ride my bicycle, I have to be safe.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Thank him all the time for that door today.
Absolutely. Anybody else? What do you thank the Lord for when a new day comes out? When, you know, you wake up and a new day is upon you. And what are some things you thank the Lord for on that new day?
Thankful that he woke me up.
Absolutely. Yeah, just thankful that he woke you up, right? And, you know, sometimes you might wake up and you might feel a little bit weary. You know, your back might hurt, or you might have other aches or pains. But the Lord woke you up, right? And that's something to be thankful for. You know, Walt came in tonight, and he was saying how, you know, he was tired. But you know what? You know, the Lord, you know, still, you know, gives him that ability to go out and do things. And yes, you're tired tonight, but he still saw you through another day. And now you'll get to go home tonight and hopefully get a good night's sleep. And, something to be thankful for. Ms. Martha?
I always thank the Lord for those nice, beautiful days we've had, the sunshine and the warm days that we're having.
Absolutely. It's been wonderful these last couple of days. Beautiful. Anybody else? What do you thank the Lord for? Brother Kenny?
New mercies.
New mercies. Absolutely. Another day, you know, you may have messed up the day before, but now you got another day, a new day, to just, you know, please the Lord with those days. Anybody else? Something that you're thankful for on a new day?
Just wake up every morning.
Wake up every morning. That's right. Absolutely. You know, you get up and, you know, get another day to go and, you know, do what the Lord would have you to do. And so they were content. And, you know, as God's people, we need to learn to be content as well. And so they knew that each day was a sacred gift from God. And so as we think about the calendar tonight, and I mean, I did some research into the calendar, and I had a whole paragraph ready to go about how complicated the calendar is and was to come. And I just say, you know what, I'm not even getting into that, because that'll just raise more questions than I felt like, you know, preparing for and at the time. But I just know here, when it comes to the calendar, God gave Israel a calendar that was tied to the rhythm of the seasons and the history of the nations. And so it was an unusual calendar because it not only summarized what God had done for them in the past, but it also anticipated what God would do for them in the future. And so as we think tonight about these feasts and festivals, within this and within their calendar, you find the salvation work of Jesus Christ, the founding of the church, and the future of the people of Israel. They're all illustrated in the seven feasts and festivals ordained here in Leviticus. And so we're here tonight in Leviticus chapter 23, and we find the feast of Jehovah are introduced. And so we're going to go through all seven of them here. You have eight blank fill in the blanks there on your Bible study sheet. And the very first one is found there in verse number 3. Who'd like to read Leviticus 23 and verse 3? Who'd like to read that? Verse number 3. Leviticus 23 and verse number 3. Walt, go ahead.
6 days of work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest.
All right. So that first fill in the blank there is what? Sabbath. So the very first one, number 1, is the Sabbath. And then who'd like to read there verse number 5? And come on, let's get some volunteers going to read this, because we want to go speed style through this. Miss Ellen, go ahead. Verse number 5. All right, so number 2 would be what? The Passover. So we have the Sabbath for number 1, and then number 2, we have the Passover. And then who'd like to read there verse number 6? Verse number 6 tonight. Brother Kenny?
And on the 15th day of the same month is the feast of unleavened bread unto the Lord. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread.
All right, and so number 3, we have what feast? The Feast of Unleavened Bread. That is correct. All right, number four, and who would like to read there verses 9 through 14? Verses 9 through 14 tonight. Miss Ellen, go ahead.
With oil. An offering made
All right, so there, number four, we have the Feast of what?
First Fruits.
The Feast of First Fruits. That is correct. All right, so now these next couple, we're just going to give to you because there's quite a lot of scripture here. So invite you to read these as you go home tonight, and we'll cover them over the next several weeks. But number five there in verses 15 through 22, you then have the Feast of Pentecost. The Feast of Pentecost in verses 15 through 22. And between number four and number five, and you can put this somewhere on your Bible study sheet, there's actually 50 days in between those two. And what's that? 50 days in between those two. In between the Feast of First Fruits and the Feast of Pentecost. And then number six, verses 23 through 25, you have what is known as the Feast of Trumpets. The Feast of Trumpets. Good job. And then number seven, on the second part of your sheet there, number seven, verses 23 through 32, you have the Day of Atonement. Number seven is the Day of Atonement in verses 23 through 32. And then number eight in verses 33 through 44 is the Feast of Tabernacles. The Feast of Tabernacles. So did everyone get that? Anybody need a number repeated there?
What was number six?
Number six, the Feast of Trumpets.
Of what?
Of Trumpets.
Trumpet.
Yep. Oh, you're fine. The good thing about your paper, and I do this all the time, if you spell it wrong, nobody but you is going to see it. So anybody else? Anybody else missing a number there? All right. And so here we have God. He's speaking through Moses here in Leviticus chapter 23. And Moses is setting forth for us the official feast of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations. Now, there on your paper, you see I gave you a couple definitions as to what Moses is actually talking about here. So he calls this, you'll notice they're used interchangeably throughout the scriptures, either feast or festivals. But the word feast means just simply an appointed time, an appointed place of meeting, congregation. And the phrase holy convocation means assembly or a called assembly. And so as we think about it, these were to be specifically holy days, but they were set apart specifically for the prescribed worship of God. And so these were days that were given for the worship of God, for the worship of the Lord. That's why, you know, sometimes you might hear preachers say and refer to our holidays as needing to get back to being holy days, because the original holidays in Scripture here, these feasts, these festivals, were just that. They were holy days. They were days meant to worship God, to worship the Lord. And so we see that tonight. Now, what's interesting here is that prior to giving us the Feast of Jehovah, I want you to notice there again, chapter 23 and verse number 3. Moses here says, 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest and holy convocation. Ye shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. Does anybody know the difference between the Sabbath and the rest of the holy days that we covered here in Leviticus 23. Anybody have an idea?
It's the only day they don't do any work.
One of the only days, yeah. But what else? Along that same line. What? A little bit more than that. It's actually more than one day. Well, here it is. And I just had it written down. Oh, here it is. The weekly Sabbath wasn't actually one of the festivals. It wasn't one of the feasts. It wasn't one of the festivals because it was to be a weekly Sabbath. And so he gives us this, and he reiterates for us the basic matter of this weekly Sabbath. And so, again, we see Israel, they were forbidden to do any work on this day. And the day was first to be for rest, but then it was also set apart for the spiritual assembly. It was also another day, even though it wasn't a festival, it was another day set apart for worship. And so, even though it's not a festival per se, it's the first thing we have to look at in this line of festivals, in this line of feasts, and that is the Sabbath day. And so there are several things there that we see as they are forbidden to work. It's to be a day of rest and worship. It's not one of the annual festivals, but it's to be honored just the same. And to dishonor it meant death. If you did not keep the Sabbath day, you could very well be put to death. And so there's several things we want to see there tonight. And these are going to be your fill in the blanks for your paper there. And because we're going to see this principle throughout Scripture. The number one, or letter A there, is creation. Is creation. Who'd like to go over and read Genesis chapter 2? Verses 1 through 3.
What's the answer to 1?
Oh, the Sabbath. Sorry.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
When it says in the Bible that dishonoring the Sabbath is death.
Right.
Does that mean that they would literally stone or something the people then? Or does it mean that just God won't let them in heaven?
Oh, no. That, I think that meant actual literal death right there. Yeah. Now, I don't know if, because you couldn't do anything on the Sabbath, it would be at a later time, because they wouldn't, obviously, you know, because then they'd have to be put to death. Yeah, so, you know, it'd be like committing suicide. But, so, who'd like to read there Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3? Brother Kenny, go ahead.
Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made.
All right, and so we see here that again, this basic principle of rest, it long predates the law. It dates back all the way to the very week of creation itself. That the Lord, He created the heaven, He created everything we see in 6 days. That seventh day, He rested. And the same principle is given to us today. And now while you and I, we don't keep the Sabbath, but we have Sundays. We have the Lord's Day. And Sunday ought to be a day of rest. We come to church, we worship the Lord, you know, and then we go home, we spend time with family, you know, we have maybe a meal, and we rest. That's our day where we're supposed to just come apart and you know, let what can wait till Monday, wait till Monday, and have that day of worship on the Lord. And so that goes even today. Ellen?
I have a question.
Yeah. Oh, no, the seventh day isn't Sunday.
What is it?
Saturday.
Okay.
Yeah, so Sunday is the first day, of the week. And that's a whole other study, and one that I did not prepare for. But, yeah, Sunday, the Lord's Day, is the first day of the week. And we see that in the New Testament, where it talks about coming to the Lord's house the first day of the week, which is Sunday, because that's when he arose from the grave. And so we might actually cover that now that I'm thinking about it. I can't remember.
So that's why the seventh day Adventists have church on Saturday.
Exactly, because they're still celebrating the Sabbath. And, you know, honestly, I don't believe there's necessarily anything. Because, again, we could literally have church every day of the week, right? And so I think from a biblical perspective, the case is for Sunday church because it's the Lord's day. But, you know, you really can't go wrong worshiping the Lord, you know, any day of the week. But I think to be as biblical as you can, Sunday is the day of worship for us today. Saturday would have been their day of worship.
The Bible ever said when he
started. What's that?
Saturday, Sabbath.
Oh, and then rested on the Sabbath. I think that's where it comes from. And so we'd have to do a little bit more digging into that part of it. But the first day of the week is the easier of the two to explain because we have a little bit more evidence pointing to that. And so, but
if you don't know when you start, how do you know when you end?
Exactly. Exactly. That actually brings up a good thing for me to ask everybody to do. As you get questions like this, write them down and give them to me, because this is something I will want to research for us, because, and this is the type of interaction I was talking about Sunday. You know, as we're studying this, Lord brings something to your mind, you know, write it down. Because again, there's so much that has been written on these topics that really I'm just trying to give us a skeleton of the different feasts, but it can breed a lot of discussion. So if you come prepared with some questions or during the lesson, you write those down. We'll cover those the next week. And so definitely write those down. And but we see here that the principle of rest goes back even to creation. But then secondly, we see consideration. We see consideration. That's letter B there on your paper. Letter B there on your paper.
Consideration.
Yes, ma'am. Consideration. And who'd like to read there? Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. Ms. Martha, go ahead. Thank you there, Ms. Martha. So we see the word there in verse number 8 where it says, remember. Remember, so as we think about the Sabbath day, we're to take this principle into consideration. And again, we see it wasn't one of the annual festivals, but it was an important day for the Hebrew people. It was an important day for the Israelites, and they were expected to honor it. And so we have their creation, we have consideration, and then letter C there on your paper, we have the word consequence. We have the word consequence. And we'll go over to Numbers chapter 15, verses 32 through 36. Who'd like to read that? JC, go ahead. Gathering.
And they lived in one. Because it was not
declared.
There was to be judgment. And the Lord said, until Moses, the man shall be servant up to death. And all the congregation shall
stone him. All right, and so now here we see the consequence of not keeping the Sabbath day, of not taking this rest day, and this consequence was death. And so again, based there back in the creation account, based on Genesis 2, 1 through 3, the weekly Sabbath is what would remind the Israelites that it was Jehovah God who was the creator. And that they were but stewards of his generous gifts. God gave them things, and they were but stewards of those things that God gave to them. We also know the Lord ordained Sabbath years. He ordained years of Jubilee to keep the Israelites from exploiting the land and impoverishing it. And that gives us letter D tonight, and that is concern. That is concern. Letter D is concern. And again, on your own time, because it's really the whole chapter of Leviticus 25 that gives us the year of Jubilee and the year and the Sabbath years. But there in Leviticus 25, we have concern, and it shows us God's tender concern for his creation is seen in the Sabbath laws. And so tonight, as we think about the Sabbath, and as we think about this basic principle of the Sabbath, God would give it to show his tender concern. He would give it to show his compassion. He would give it to show his care for his children, because he did not want them working 24/7. He wanted them to take that day of rest. He wanted them to take that day of worship because he knew that it was important to their body. He knew that it was important to their soul. And even today, God has this principle in place for us, because he knows that, you know, if all we do is work 24/7, eventually, we're going to burn out. And if we take no time for worship, if we take no time for God, if we take no time for God's people, then our soul suffers as a result. And so God says, hey, slow down a little bit. And I think it's in Psalms. The Bible says, be still and know that I am God. And so we see here Moses now having restated this basic principle. God, through Moses, would then proceed to give and describe the seven basic feast days of the Hebrew calendar. Now, we're just covering seven of them. And those seven fall either in spring or in fall. But then you have two other feast days that are mentioned outside of Leviticus that they were more hit or miss. And we might cover those. Those are towards the end. We might cover those. But for the most part, here in Leviticus 23, we have the seven basic feast days of the Hebrew calendar. And we'll begin looking at those next week. And we'll begin to look at those with Passover. And so, any questions? Letter D? Concern. Concern. And so, we'll begin looking at Passover next week. And so again, come with some questions and come prepared to get involved, reading some scripture, and prepare to answer some questions. And we'll just have a good time with this study. Again, there's a lot that we can cover, but just trying to give us the Cliff Notes version of it if we could. And so, any questions before we close in prayer tonight? Well,
in Hebrew religion, how is the
Yeah.
Celebration.
Yeah. Go by the teaching of what?
The Baptists go by the teaching of the book.
Yeah.
How come the Baptists don't, like some of the other denominational churches, they certain Sundays of the week, once a year, emphasize particular holidays that were mentioned?
Hmm. Good question.
But the Baptists don't do any of that from January to December.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And the reason for it is twofold. Number one, we have to remember that these days in particular, they were given to the Jewish people. And so they're not necessarily for us today. And so for us to... It is. But... Right. But... And we are. We do teach it. But not everything that is in the book is written to us. It's for us, but not to us. And so the Sabbath days and the holy days and the festivals and the feasts, it was written to the Jewish people and they were Jewish in nature. So we are, you know, we are what is referred to as Acts Christians from the book of Acts. Well, they have... Yeah, they acknowledge it on the calendar, and we have our days where we acknowledge it because they all point to Christ. And we'll see it, you know, over the next several weeks, you're going to see where we cover them. We just don't name them necessarily. And so, but yeah, so that's why we don't. And so... Oh, a couple reasons, again, being they were given to the Jewish people and they're not for today. Well, see, we're not Protestant or Catholic. We're Baptist. But, well, basically, yeah, yeah. And so we don't, and we'll cover it more in the next couple weeks, but because... What they're doing is they get so wrapped up in them and in celebrating them that they think by celebrating them that it makes them closer to God, makes them more religious and different things like that. And we'll see that from Scripture in the next couple weeks, how there's a wrong way to remember them and a right way to remember them. And so, yeah. Anybody else? All right, well, let's go ahead, go to the Lord in prayer, and then we have a few announcements, and then we'll be dismissed this weekend. Let's pray.